Welcome to yet another episode of Event Planner TV. Why would you spend money on a moderator for a conference if your director can do the job as well? I ask it to Jan-Jaap Indermauer, who is a professional event moderator himself. Hi Jan-Jaap, welcome to our studio. We're going to talk about moderators, but why is it important to hire an external moderator and not do it just yourself?
Well, first of all, it's not always important to hire an external moderator. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you can do it yourself. But there are a few very good reasons to think about an external moderator.
And those are?
First of all, it is somebody who is neutral. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you take somebody from your own organization, he will not have the freedom of asking anything that will have to be asked. Yeah. I mean, his level of critical questioning is not that high as mine.
Yeah, if you have to ask a critical question to your own manager.
Yes, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. So that's one. The second one is the stupid questions. If you work within an organization, you know everything. So you probably will miss the stupid questions. For me, when I come mm-hmm. from the outside, I will ask the questions that any consumer will ask, or any attendee to a conference might ask. So it's a level of stupidity, a level mm-hmm. of being critical. It is a level of being professional in leading interaction, because you might know everything about your organization, but that is something completely different than knowing everything about interaction, about how to get people to talk to each other, to really listen to each other, to feel what is happening in an audience. Yeah,
it's good that you touch the subject of interaction, because yeah. what I see happening on a lot of events is yeah. that interaction is kind of a trick people use. Yeah. But if it's not real, then it doesn't work.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, if you make the choice to interact, mm-hmm. then everybody will know. If you do it simply for the sake of interacting, mm-hmm. if you want to interact, you really have to do it to the max, to the 100%. That means that reactions might occur mm-hmm. that you have not foreseen or that you will not like.
Do you have some examples of?
Well, I mean, sometimes people I work for tell me we want to interact with the audience, mm-hmm. but here is a list of three questions we do not want to answer. And I will tell them, okay, in that case, I will not ask you the question myself. But if somebody from the audience does ask that question, you can't just wave it away. You have to have an answer. Mm-hmm. If you do want to interact, really interact. And then start with interaction. Because what you often see happening is they say, we want to interact. And they start off with three speakers. Mm-hmm. And after the three speakers, there is 5 minutes of Q&A time.
Yeah.
Turn it around. If you want to interact, first ask questions to the audience. Then go to a speaker. Ask a speaker to take half of the time speaking and leave the other mm-hmm. 20 minutes for Q&A. I mean, interaction is something you have to really do or leave it.
And how important is it that a moderator knows the subject of the conference?
Well, sometimes it's important. Sometimes it's important that he doesn't. Okay. If there are a lot of specialists in a certain field in the audience, the moderator does need mm-hmm. some level of understanding of the topic, because they know all about it. So you don't have to blunder around and mm-hmm. ask questions that they already know. On the other hand, does he have to know everything? No, because his task is not to know everything. His task is to guide a process happening within the audience. But if, on the other hand, the audience is a layman's audience, mm-hmm. people knowing nothing about a topic, then it will be an advantage if the moderator does not know that much about the topic too. Yeah. Because then he can ask their questions to the speaker.
Now, we kind of touched the subject of event architecture, of course, yeah. because you said, okay, let's turn around first questions, then the speaker, and
absolutely.
So on. How important is event architecture for a moderator?
Very important. If the event architecture is not good, the moderator has a very difficult task, because then you are working in an environment that is not facilitating what you mm-hmm. want to do. So the event architecture has to be the basis of the process. And once the event architecture is in place, then the moderator will exactly know at what point in time to ask critical questions, mm-hmm. at what point in time to leave open space to the room to think about things, when to speed up the program, when to slow down, etc. Mm-hmm. And one more important thing, once the event architecture is in place, you will know which moderator to hire. Because there are all kinds of moderators with mm-hmm. strong points and weak points.
I just wanted to ask you, should a moderator be involved in setting up the architecture? But that's kind of difficult because you say it depends what moderator you need.
Absolutely. If you look at it in a very black and white perspective, mm-hmm. you have to say no. The event architecture has to be there mm-hmm. before you make a choice of moderator. Mm-hmm. Because if the event architecture leads you to a program with very much interaction, you need an interaction moderator. Mm-hmm. If the event architecture takes you to a program with a lot of interviewing, you have to need somebody who knows how to interview.
Yep.
So on the other hand, the sooner the moderator is in the process, the better he will understand mm-hmm. the program, the people in the audience, etc., etc. So there's a balance. The first part of event architecture, choices in what kind of program will it be, have to be there mm-hmm. first before you choose a moderator.
Mm-hmm.
Then you choose a moderator. But please do not finish the event architecture into every detail
without the moderator.
Without the moderator.
Yeah.
Because the moderator does need the chance to talk with you about, okay, you want to open with interaction. Why is that? So, okay, what kind of interaction mm-hmm. will we choose? Will I go into the audience? Will I work with voting systems, etc., etc.? Those details, it is better to do with the moderator.
And can it also be a good idea to have, for example, two or three moderators if you say, okay, I have a part that's very interactive and I have a part with in-depth interviewing and I take two or three?
Yeah. In general, the best thing to look at is there one moderator mm-hmm. With the exact right balance of expertise mm-hmm. to do everything? Because then you have one person in charge and the audience gets a connection with this moderator. But if there are very, very, very different parts to the program, yes, absolutely. An option is to do a duo moderation.
Yeah.
I've done several myself. My people have done several where two different moderators have two different characteristics and two different parts of the program. Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe to conclude with, if you have to choose a moderator,
how
do you choose the right one?
First, get your event architecture right.
Mm-hmm.
Then look at three things. What capabilities does the moderator need?
Mm-hmm.
Interviewer, interaction leader, debater, etc. Secondly, what type of person do you need?
Mm-hmm.
You have very outgoing moderators. You have very modest moderators.
Yep.
You have very confronting moderators and very smooth moderators, all kinds of types. Mm-hmm. Your personality is different than mine.
Yep.
With some audiences and some goals, your personality will work with some mine will.
Mm-hmm.
So first, what can he do? Secondly, what kind of person is he mm-hmm. or she? And thirdly, is knowledge of the topic necessary or not?
Okay.
Those three points, then bottom line, you get the right moderator. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you for those tips. And thank you for coming to our studio.
You're welcome.
And you at home, thank you for watching our show. I hope to see you next time.